What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 384, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I was not ready for that intro to start. I was like not paying attention, and then it just kicked in and had to wake back up. And
I do feel really tired. Both of us are sort of getting over, like, we were both kind of sick.
Yeah.
I was sick the past couple days. I feel like it was a hangover from going out on Halloween on Saturday, and then it just kind of...
Did you dress up? Or
I did dress up.
As what?
Sort of like this, like, purge mask type, like one of those masks that, like, light up.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so if it in the dark, it looks really cool. That, and I had these like light up gloves, and I wore like this hoodie that was all like, I don't know, that it was, I don't know what you call that, but did you dress up?
No, well, I stayed back this year and handed out candy instead. Usually we all go out and we just leave like a bucket of candy on the porch.
Yeah.
And hope for the best. But this year I stayed back, 'cause I had like Pokemon comes out with like little packs of cards that you can give out to kids for Halloween.
Oh,
so
cool.
I stayed back and like gave them out to kids. So I was dressed up as like in a, like a overall suit, coveralls, and then like a Frankenstein mask. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Looks about the same.
So. But yeah, we're both very tired. I know I'm definitely tired. And I'm like, this is like my third caffeine drink of the day.
Third? I did have two coffees today, but
yeah,
which for me is a lot.
Where's the caffeine in this? I don't know. Why doesn't it say?
Does it say on the front? Like one of those little icons on the front that shows
naturally
like...
and artificial. Wait, why does it say naturally and artificially flavored?
Like, well, it's got natural flavors and artificial flavors.
This is like an oxymoron. I don't know. It doesn't say, but this probably has at least 150 in it, I'm guessing. But
well, you'll be.
Anyways, we're in November now. It's
November 1st.
Holiday season for sure now. That's what, like, everybody puts up a Christmas tree now.
I was at Target yesterday getting candy, and there was already Christmas stuff going up, you know, and I'm sure it's been there for a while, but
the crazy people put up their Christmas stuff now. Like normal people, they put up their Christmas stuff at Black Friday, you know, like right after Thanksgiving. That's like normal people. But the crazy people, they put up their Christmas stuff now, or it's probably already been up for like a week or a couple weeks, you know? So, but holiday season's great. Holiday season's really good for, we have like most of the PC like the big PC hardware launches have already happened this year. But we are seeing some new cases come out. We are seeing some new products come out for holiday season. So that's definitely exciting. Also, typically we have game releases, coming in at the end of the year as well. We've had some pretty decent ones over the past few months, as far as games go too. So, and everybody just looking forward to the time off of work. That's either, you know, spending time with the kids, or it's playing video games and things like that. So yeah, I do like holiday season, obviously. Here the seasons don't change all that much, but, you said it was pretty cold the other day.
Yeah, like my son's soccer game got canceled in the morning. It was supposed to be an 8:30 game, and it had been raining and was like 30 or below. And so they're like, yeah, we're going to cancel that. And yeah, it's been chilly and cooled off here. So,
okay. Well, yeah, no, it was nice. I would, I'm probably going to go to the beach this week. I mean, not a, you know, but yeah, that's one thing I don't miss is the cold. We were talking about this before we started recording this. I do not miss the cold at all. Just something that I don't miss. So, but we'll move from obviously talking about weather to getting into tech. As I always say, guys, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So, you know, you can kind of click through as we go through the stories and the reviews, and you can learn even more about what we're talking about, because we don't always go into incredible detail. So we have all of the articles and all of the reviews right there. We're going to start out with reviews this week, and we have a CPU cooler, which is probably, it might be my favorite. We have some really big CPU cooler reviews coming up, but As of right now, I would say this is probably my favorite CPU cooler, air cooler of 2023. It's just that good. It's the Scythe Fuma. Wait, did I not link this correctly?
I guess so. I had to pull up. Yeah, I clicked the first one. It hadn't refreshed. I was on last week's page as well. So
gotcha.
I had to go directly to it.
The Scythe Fuma 3. So this is their third version of their Fuma cooler, and I think they've really got it right this time. This is a dual tower, dual fan cooler. And it's you know, set to be that high-end cooler. It's going to compete against the Noctuas, the high-end Cooler Master coolers, the high-end Deep Cool coolers. It's going to compete against all of that. And it the thing I really like about this is you see these big coolers, and the thing about the big coolers is that they take up so much space. A lot of them will cover up your memory slots. So if you have RGB memory, you kind of lose it. They're hard to install, you know, they're just so big. This, it is larger. Like, as you can see, it's decently big, but the way you get 100% memory clearance with this because you have this really thin fan. So this first fan is only 15 millimeters and the center one is 26 millimeters thick. So you have this really thin fan on the front that allows it to have 100% RAM clearance, which I really, really like. As you can see from the side here, you know, you can see just how thin it is. This first tower is thinner. The second tower is much thicker. And the thing that they've done is they've actually increased the fin density compared to the previous version. So increased fin density should give better performance, which we will see here. And then very unlike Scythe, they've put a top cap on here, which actually makes the cooler look really nice. If you're familiar with those coolers, you usually just see like the top of the heat pipes here. But they actually put this top on, like, you know, these caps on the cooler, which actually looks really nice, especially once you have it installed. As far as heat pipes go, same thing as the previous version. You have six millimeter thick heat pipes. Of course, they go up into each of those heatsink stacks. You can kind of see it right here. They go up in there like that. And then when it comes to installation, this is actually really, really easy to install. You know, you put your backplate on here, then, you know, that kind of goes for, this is Intel installation. That goes through, of course, the holes in your motherboard. You put the spacers on there. You put the Intel brackets on the top and bottom. And then you put the cooler on, and then the cooler has these screws on it. You screw those into the little pegs that are on the brackets, and you're good to go. It's really, really easy. You do have to remove that center fan, but beyond that, it's not all that hard to do. And yeah, so that's kind of what it looks like once you have it installed. And then you put the fan back on, of course, and you are good to go. And as you can see in this picture too, like, 100% RAM clearance. So even if you have tall sticks of RAM, it won't matter because this front fan is not going to overhang any of the memory slots, which is nice. You know, so
it's interesting though that center fan is 26 millimeters thick as opposed to the standard 25. Like, I don't know. It's I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just how they have it set up. Maybe just getting a little bit extra thickness where they can get it in, I guess. And one thing that is nice about this is too, is even though the back part of the heatsink is thicker, they have it cut off at the bottom. So, you know, your rear IO cover or larger VRM cooling doesn't interfere, and it doesn't. Like I said, overall, and here you can see what it looks like inside of a case. Like I said, those top caps just make it look a lot cleaner, I think, compared to, you know, not having them on there. And again, our memory, you know, this is RGB memory and it will light up and you'll be able to see it, you know, very easily. And I would say, even though this is a larger cooler, like, we do all of our installations outside of the case so we can show you how to do the installation. I would say even if you didn't remove the graphics card, you could probably get this done inside of a case, because once you remove that center fan, everything's really easy to access. I think you could easily do this inside of a case if you wanted to. So, you know, when it came to our testing here's what the system looks like turned on as you can see, again, you can see that the RGB lighting from your memory is, you know, you can see it. It's not covered up or anything like that. And yeah, there's no RGB lighting on the cooler itself. Some people like that. Some people may not like that. I do like having some RGB lighting on my CPU cooler, but Scythe has, I don't think they've ever had a cooler with RGB lighting on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least the ones that we reviewed, I can't recall them ever having it. But yeah, if you're into RGB and you want RGB on a cooler, this is not going to be the one for you. But if you look at the performance, I mean, it's in the top of our test group. And our test group has like the Noctua NHD15. It has the high-end Cooler Masters on there. It has the high-end Deep Cools. Not the highest-end Deep Cool. We have that. We're going to be reviewing that. But like their AK620 we have there. So that's idle. Our first load, it only thing that beat it is the high-end Cooler Master, the MA624 Stealth, and then it beats everything, or it's three-way tie between this cooler, the Cooler Master Master Air MA624 Stealth, and the Noctua NHD15. But if you look at how expensive those other two coolers are, this cooler is $50. It's $49.99. The Noctua is $109. And I think the Cooler Master is $89.
Pretty good.
There's value. And those coolers are larger than this one. So I think overall, this is a very good deal. But on top of that, it's not like it's, you know, $50 cheaper, but you're getting like $50 cheaper, less performance.
Right.
You're getting the same amount of performance basically in a smaller package that's less expensive. And that's why I really, really like this cooler. I mean, it is a really, really good cooler. As far as noise, it's not all that loud. It does sit sort of in the middle of the pack when it comes to noise levels. But I think you have this in a case, you're really not going to notice it anyways. So yeah, I really, really like this cooler, especially for the price. $50, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's not bad at all. So I gave it 10 out of 10. I mean, I really like it, and I gave it a recommended award. So if you are looking for an air cooler, this is going to be the one to get if you're, you know, if you're looking for a high performance air cooler.
Top caps come off if you like the look of their.
I did not check that. I can check that.
I
didn't check that. I probably assume they do because they were probably, you know, put on there unless they're glued on there. But yeah, that's just like I said, probably my favorite cooler of the year so far, I'd say, because it's just that good. And then, like, I think a lot that has a lot to do with the price, too. I mean,
yeah, I think, yeah, for me, that would factor in. Like, I really liked some of those new Deep Cool units that we saw. But, you know, this is cool, too.
Yeah. So
it has got good stuff.
10 out of 10 and recommended award. So nice. Check out the review, you know. Yeah, it's just an awesome cooler. Let me make sure I have my links correct.
The first one actually linked back to last week's podcast.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but Okay. Everything else looked all right so far.
Okay, good. So the second product that I took a look at this week, I actually have right here. Let me see if I can open this. It is this really cool. Oh, there's glare. That's the only problem with these is that there's a glare. There we go. Is this really cool wireless microphone kit for your iPhone. So it comes in this little carrying case that you see here. And Ryan, you have a kit like this that works with like USB-C. But the cool thing about this is you notice how small this case is.
Yeah.
The reason it's so small is the receiver is actually built into the bottom of the case. So it allows us to really be like super, super small, put it in your pocket, but you have everything with you, which is really cool. And if you're not familiar, like, you know, we shoot all this content on our phones and you know how phone microphones aren't bad. Like, you know, even my brand new iPhone 15, like it's not bad if you're close, if you're making content like this, but say you're in a busy area, or even if you're outside, you can hear so much noise around you. It's just not great. So that's why like these little microphone kits are really, really useful. You know, they're little microphones that you can just go ahead and clip on. So like this is the size of the mic. I mean, it's tiny, you know.
Well, and they're so cool because you can get that good sound far away from your camera, which makes for some really cool shots.
Yeah, so these actually have a range of like 500 feet or something crazy. And, you know, they come in this little charging case, which is great. And then the receiver or the receiver itself for this one is going to be Lightning. So if you have, you know, iPhone 14 or below, or you're working with an iPad, you can use this. And one thing that's really cool about this one compared to other ones, you can see the dial right here. So that's actually a gain dial that you can change in real time, which is really awesome. And then there's a type C on the bottom. And what that allows you to do is you connect a cable, and that cable has a headphone jack. So you can monitor your audio in real time. So say you and I are working and we're doing interviews, and you can actually monitor the audio in real time. So you're like, oh yeah, like the microphones, because I'm sure you've recorded stuff where like the microphone hits off stuff. And
yeah,
you know, so if you're working with somebody, they can monitor the audio and they can see, you know, if it's good audio, if you're getting interference, if you're cutting out, whatever it may be. So like compared to some of the other ones that I have and I've reviewed, they don't have that feature. So it's really nice to have that. So this is from a company called Comica, and this is their Vimo SMI or Mi. And they have a, like, so this is the one, again, the Mi version is made for iPhone. They have a normal USB-C version as well that you can plug into Android, or you can plug into any other USB-C devices. So you're pretty much good to go, you know? You and I both have kits like this from different companies, and like they just come in handy so well, I think. I think that's the best part about it. There's that little cable, like I said, that connects into there. So it gives you another charging port. So you can actually be charging your phone or other device at the same time, and it gives you the microphone port. But I think overall, like, these are just so good to give you really, really good audio for making content. And so many people are making content on their phones. This just kind of makes sense. You know what I mean?
It was really handy to have the other one that we had last year at CES, right? Just being able to like pull that out, slap it together, give a mic to somebody. You don't have to pair them. They're just automatically paired and you just start going. It's very handy.
Yeah, that's the thing too. So as soon as you open this up, like open the case up, they look for the receiver. So you don't have to like worry like, okay, is it paired? Like they automatically pair. When you plug the receiver into your phone, it turns on automatically and connects to the mics. Like it's very much seamless. And the cool thing about this one too is that when you open it, it does give you the battery level too. It's kind of hard to see, but it gives you the battery level there too, so you know how charged they are. I said it's a cool little kit. They do come with wind muffs too. So if you're out in like a windy location, you can just put those on the end and they'll be good to go there. So I really like these. We have an audio test if you want to hear it. There's also like a noise cancellation mode in these, which I also put in the audio test, and it's actually really, really good. I went out on my balcony to test these, and Ryan knows that like this road right here, there's all kind of cars that go by. You wouldn't even know that I was on my balcony. Like that's how good the noise cancellation is on this. So check out the review. Only $116, which I think is a good deal, especially considering this is one of the few that again offer you that gain control and the ability to monitor your own audio. So if you're somebody who's making content with your phone, this is definitely something that you should consider if you're like seriously making content, you know, with your phone. So yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. And I will move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we do have a build inside the Height Y60. So this is called Y60 Snow. And since you said it basically almost snowed by you.
Yeah.
This is that white and blue theme here. Pretty cool that like, so the Y60, for those who don't know, like even though it seems like a larger case, when it comes to water cooling, like there's not necessarily
it's not that big.
it's not that big, and you're kind of restrained because, like, as you can see, they actually have the res, like, they made like a custom bracket to put it on, because there's not a ton of room. But I really like how they've kind of fit everything in here. It uses this, a lot of people for specifically this build, because I've seen like four or five builds that use this heat killer GPU block right here. Like, so many people on the Y60 are using that one. I don't know why specifically.
It looks good. I mean, it obviously saves you space and access to like your,
yeah,
that vertical radiator and the pump as well.
Yeah, so a lot of people are using this GPU block, but like I said, I think it's a solid build, great keeping like that. You know, they're calling it snow, so it's the white and blue. You have white and blue here on the 24-pin sleeve cable there. It is pretty interesting, though. I guess like a company makes this bracket here, Ryan.
Yeah, those are pretty common.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, really, really cool to see that. The Maximus Apex board that, of course, everybody uses or wants.
What pump and house reservoir is that?
I don't know.
Was it a? It almost looks like the Corsair pump.
Hard to. I don't think we have a list of. It's the Corsair XR5 D5 res pump combo. So yeah, you were a good call. Look at Ryan.
Look at me.
Yeah. This the pump res right here. Yeah, because I guess the Corsair one sort of has more of like a rectangle shape as opposed to like a circular shape. But really cool to see. This one was done by Marin Mario Luca. I forget where I picked this one up at, but I think it was on Facebook in one of the groups. So yeah, really cool to see that. Y60 builds, some of them I don't like, to be honest, because I feel like people, they just kind of like overdo it or it just doesn't look right. This one I think is done right, but there are some that I'm not the biggest fan of. So yeah, really cool to see that. Also, a reminder, guys, we are giving away a Kingston XS1000 portable SSD, 2 terabyte, or is it 1 terabyte? 2 terabyte. I forgot if it was the 1 terabyte or two terabyte. But yeah, super easy to enter. 5 days left on this. And when you do enter, once you like go past the first part, there's a section that says secret code. The secret code is Halloween. So if you want to get some more entries, that is the secret code. We're only giving it to you guys on the podcast. So if you're listening, I forget how many extra I put it in, at least 3, maybe 5.
I think you said it was 3 last week.
Okay. So you get 3 more entries if you put in the secret code. So again, the secret code is Halloween. If you're not sure where to find the giveaway link or whatever, go to the website at the top and under the menu, it just says contests and it's like the first, it'll be the first one. But yeah, Kingston XS1000. I love portable storage like this. So yeah, get your entry in. I'm not going to talk about too much more, but yeah,
sweet.
Pretty, like I said, we'll be
5 rolling days left. So get in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll be doing another giveaway after that. So we'll be rolling giveaways at least till the end of the year. So it'll be, lots of stuff, to be given away. So we'll move on to news. It really looks like, the RTX 4080 Super is going to be a thing.
Yep.
Because we have to have a refresh.
You don't seem excited.
I mean, I'm not necessarily excited, to be honest. You know, so the RTX 4080, there's a new PCI ID repository entry, and that entry, somebody found because they're crazy. But it is the RTX 4080 Super. I guess that's just what we're doing, you know? I mean, we talked about this the past couple
weeks. I'm all right with it. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I'm glad it's not the 4080 Ti Super or Super Ti, right?
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. I'm happy that's just Super, kind of like we had with the 20 series.
Do you think that, okay, so obviously we had the big mess up with the 4080 initially. So we got a 4070 Ti. Do you think because of that mess up, they're just calling these supers that, like, the refresh was initially supposed to be called Ti, but because they already put Ti's out, like, by because they couldn't put it in between, like, they wonder if somebody got fired. Do you think somebody got fired?
I mean, maybe, possibly.
I think somebody would have had to get fired for that.
The thing is, like, somebody, like, the level, yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'm thinking that's the case.
Somebody has to make the decision, though, to, like, okay things, right? And so maybe it was that person that okayed it.
Yeah. But also talking about that, here we have the RTX 4080 Super will use the complete AD103-300 GPU. So that would give it 10,240 cores. So completely maxing out that chip. We talked about it last week, thinking that the memory on the card's going to be 20. It could be an upgrade to 20 gigabytes. We don't know if that's the case. That's the rumor. But maxing out the chip is definitely nice. You know what I mean? Because they could just call it a super and just give you 20 gigs of
VRAM. Right, and not giving you anything else.
Not giving you anything else. So completely maxing out the chip is definitely a good thing. Also, on top of that, there are some, like, preliminary details on, get this, an RTX 4070 Ti Super.
Super, I know.
Yeah.
And a 70, just a 70 Super.
Yeah, and, it, like, again, confusing, a 70 Super. Somebody had to get fired.
They're like, we got to clean this up, but we're going to go ahead and release these.
Yeah. Yeah, a Ti Super. Wonder if next generation they'll get it together.
Maybe. Like, yes, can we get, like, since we're on the 70 series right now, or, like, 70 level, like, a 5070, a 5070 Ti, and a 5070 Super, right? Like, that's the order that things should go in my opinion. Correct. And it should be across the board, like, the 5000, the 5000 Ti, the 5000 Super.
Yes, I agree.
And then maybe a Titan or something later on, you know, like that crazy card at the end.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
I just like, easy segmentation and very understandable for the consumer, which none of this
and is. Consistent.
Yeah.
Generation over generation.
Because that's how you know, like, what anything is. You know what I mean?
Well, used to.
You knew that the Super was the refresh, that was only 1 year, but you knew the Ti was the better card out of the two, right?
Right, right.
And the Ti would always come later. It wouldn't be first. So.
Yep.
So, yeah. Very, very interesting times when it comes to naming. But the more details we get on that 4080 Super, we'll definitely let you guys know, as well as the other cards. Lots of speculation going on right now. But talking about new cards that have been launched, two new cards from Asus. The first one is their first white tough card, and that comes in the form of an RTX 4070 Ti. So all white tough. Are you a fan? Are you not a fan?
I think it looks good. It kind of cracks me up that the tough series has a white card. Just because, to me, that's more like as the name implies, tough. It's their, like, almost rugged design language a lot of times. So to me, the white doesn't fit that.
But obviously tough. Yeah, it's rugged. It's supposed to last a long time. It's like their most reliable series of card. So, like, sure. Don't you think people building PCs want a white version, though?
Oh, yeah, it's just out of the norm for that line. But yeah, I'm sure people would love a white series, right?
Yeah, for sure. So that, yeah, I like the way this looks. I like the white. I always like the design of the tough cards. So to see it in white, I definitely like it. So that again is here's the long product name. You ready for the long product name? The Asus Tough Gaming GeForce RTX 4070 Ti White OC Edition 12 gig. I think it's just OC Edition. I don't think the 12 gig is part of the product.
Right, with DLSS.
I think Gigabyte's the only one that puts, like, the actual Like it's the 8GOC. That's what Gigabyte does. So
right.
But yeah. But yeah. So if you are again looking to build a new system or upgrade, and you want a white tough card, the 4070 is the first one that they, or 4070 Ti is the first one that Asus is offering. Also, they we talked about this maybe like was it like 2 months ago? Maybe
when it first wasn't kind of.
It was first
spoiled, but yeah.
Yeah, it was first leaked about this graphics card coming out. It's Asus card that had an M.2 slot built in.
Yep.
So you could use the lanes on your graphics card for an M.2, which makes some sense. If you don't have M.2s on your board or you're already populated, maybe you're, again, this is a 4060 Ti, so it's not like the highest end card. So maybe you're running like an older chipset that maybe only has one M.2 and you want to add another one. And this is an easy way to do it as you're getting your graphics card. So this is the RTX 4060 Ti dual that, again, has the M.2 built into it, M.2 slots built into it. So you can add your own M.2. I like this. I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
So I was reading something else. I'm pretty sure that the 4060 Ti is only a by 8 card.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, it allows you to, you know, utilize some more of those. I don't know. I think it's cool. It also isn't going to, you know, require as much power on that card. So you can also get some built-in temperature reductions on this drive, right? You get the added bonus of the cooling of the card that then translates to better cooling in that drive. So that's kind of cool too.
Yeah. And it has this built-in heatsink as well on there too. So I like the idea of it. It's kind of like a 2-for-1 type thing. Well, I guess not completely 2-for-1 because you still have to buy the drive, but yeah, I like, and it is funny that all these things are like the 4060 and the 4060 Ti, like cards that nobody wants are getting all these cool things, you know, but it's cool. Maybe we'll see it on higher end cards or some other things beyond the 4060 series, but cool to see that from Asus there. And then moving on from that, we have some updates to the ROG Ally, and I actually really like this. And we've seen it with the Steam Deck as well, especially now because there's a lot more competition. But you buy these handhelds and like they just don't change, right? There's no, you know, but it's like a PC more or less. These are like PCs. So there should be firmware updates. There should be software updates. There should be things that improve this over time, you would think, right?
Sure.
So the ROG Ally has gotten a big update. It now supports AMD HyperRx. And if you're not familiar with AMD's HyperRx, that allows people to use Radeon Boost, Radeon Anti-Lag Plus, and Radeon Super Resolution. You basically just like enable it in the settings. Pretty easy to do, really. But it allows you to do that. This also opens up you to do 1600 by 900 resolution. So the ROG Ally had 1080p, 720p. Now you can do 1600 by 900 if you wanted to do that as well.
That's when you have it connected externally, right? Obviously.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, because what was the screen in it?
1080p.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess that's connecting externally. But yeah, it's good to see these updates coming. And I think, again, if anybody would be doing it, it would be Asus, just for the fact that, again, like they, you know, they're always pushing out updates for their BIOSes, for their motherboards and stuff like that. So it's good to see this come out. And again, making the product better over time. And again, there is competition, that new Lenovo one's coming out. Of course, you have all the other overseas companies having all these handhelds. So yeah, I like it. Good to see that. Looks like we lost Ryan.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Ryan is still there. His video went out, but he is still there. Also talking about Steam Deck here. It has kind of crazy. There's 12,000 playable or verified titles for Steam Deck now, which is a lot of games. So in order, like, your game has to be verified to work with Steam Deck on Steam to get, like, the Steam Deck verified. So, yeah, 12,000 games.
A lot.
Yeah, that's quite a lot. So, really cool to see that many games work on Steam Deck. Because, again, when it first came out, there was a decent handful.
Sure.
But pretty much any game that's coming out that's going to be on Steam is going to get that certification now. And again, that comes with competition from things like the ROG Ally and things like that. You want all these games to work. Because again, there were a lot of games that, like, I think Cyberpunk was one of the first ones that had like a ton of issues initially on Steam Deck.
And so I wonder if like they either made the certification process easier or quicker or put more resources towards certifying things. Like, what allowed them to ramp this up, right?
I think the publisher probably gets like a higher, not ranking, but like in the store.
Oh, true. If they make optimizations or configurations, yes, to support it, yeah.
Yeah, so like it's gonna, like, you can't really see, but like, you know how this says like new to library, like it might say like Steam Deck optimized or something.
Sure.
in the Steam app. So yeah, it's cool to see. It's good to see this and continuing. And I'm like thinking, like, you know, how long has it been since the Steam Deck came out? Like at least a year, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, are we gonna get a new one? Like, is, you know, when's the next one coming out?
Oh, you can't be happy with this one?
No, I'm just saying that, like, you know, well, I think now that when the Steam Deck came out, the market, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, it kind of proved that there was a market, right, for this.
Yes. Because we got a couple of them right away afterwards.
Yeah, so it took some time to kind of build this market, and then the ROG Ally really pushed it to the next level, and now we're seeing Lenovo jump in, and we could see some other people really jump in with this, so... Yeah, I mean, putting a new one out that beats like all of the newer ones, you know, that would be and has some newer features or something along those lines, could be cool to see. So, so yeah, pretty cool to see that as well. So we talked about last week, and I was really excited for this, for the Qualcomm Snapdragon X Elite. If you're not sure what that is, Qualcomm, who like mainly makes SoCs and chips for like mobile devices, they're coming out with CPUs or SoCs for laptops, like meant to compete with AMD, Intel, and Apple. And the first graphics benchmarks have been released. And it's not necessarily like amazing by any means, but, you know, 3D Mark,
I think, for a first, yeah, an initial offering, it's pretty, pretty decent.
Yeah, it's definitely good. So here it is up here, only using 23 watts. This is an Intel Xe GPU on the i7-3700H, using 23 watts. It beats it out in the 3D Mark Wildlife Extreme benchmark. And then the Radeon 7780M, that's in the Ryzen 7 7840HS. It also beats that out at 3D Mark Wildlife. But it's getting beat out by like the M2 and the M2 Max from Apple, as well as like a discrete RTX 3050. But I mean, that's pretty respectable, you know. Yeah. And then we have the control benchmark. So this is an actual game benchmark, 1080p. And again, the X Elite is here running at 23 watts. The i7-13700H, you know, it gets 53 FPS. It's getting 39. The Ryzen 7 7840HS is getting 56, so just a little bit better. But again, the M2 and M2 Max are like crushing it. Or no, the M2 Max is crushing it, getting 145 FPS in the same test. So, but for like a first entry, I think this is going to be really good. And again, I talked about it last week of how, again, getting more, just getting somebody else in the mix is going to drive innovation and make things better. So I think, you know, and Qualcomm's not like a little company by any means.
No.
So they're a massive company, and they're going to jump into the space. And it seems like, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to happen right away. But I think that based on what I've seen, this is going to be something that's going to be competitive against especially Intel and AMD. And again, the problem you have, I guess, comparing this to Apple is that, you know, people running a Mac aren't necessarily running the same programs or games or things like that. So that's, you know, because when somebody's buying a laptop, like, they're not deciding, am I going to buy a laptop or a Mac? The Mac person is going to buy the Mac.
Going to buy the Mac.
PC person, it would be really weird for and vice versa, right? For somebody on Mac to go to PC. So having the M2 and M2 Max in here, it makes sense, but I just don't see a PC person being like, seeing this and be like, oh, I guess I'll get that Mac that, you know, maybe not all my games will run on, and I might have, you know, I don't know how to use specifically. So, but yeah, really cool to see that. I'm excited, and we'll be following that for sure to let you guys know, you know, once we get more information, and especially once we get some, you know, laptop reviews of that specific processor. So talking about Apple though, we just, you know, saw the M2 performance. They announced an M3, M3 Pro, and M3 Pro Max, or M3 Max CPUs. This is all for them. They're not, you know, we can't use these any other way. And the page isn't opening for some reason. Oh, there it goes. The interesting thing, and a lot of people did point this out, is that all of the graphs that Apple put out were more or less comparing the M3 to the M1, not the M2.
Yeah.
Which we talk about this all the time of how we have to have a new product like every year. And, you know, you're not going to get generational gains. It's great. Like, and we talked about this when the first Apple chip came out. This is a great thing for Apple. It gets them out of the Intel headache that they were in, allows them to control everything. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, just like related to the graphs and showing it against an M1, right? The M3 against the M2, it shows an upgrade path for someone on an M1 that maybe it makes sense to go to from an M1 to an M3. Or if you're a brand new buyer and not on any of these platforms, like, shows just how great M3 is. They don't care about converting those M2 to M3. Like, they know that those people that are those bleeding edge people that have an M2 device are just going to do it anyways. So I don't think they're really trying to move people from a 2 to a 3 by any means.
Yeah. And talking about those people, the Apple fanboys, I'd say, because I have an Apple device. I do like my iPhone, but I've maybe the first iPhone, and maybe like, I forget what a one had, like something that was not on anything else. But when Apple does these events, and you see it all the time, and you see these fanboys be like, oh my God, that's so amazing. And it's like, no, it's cool, but it's not like
there's nothing groundbreaking here.
And they're like, Apple, like, they came out with like a MacBook in black, and people are like, oh, they've never done that before.
Oh my gosh, I saw so many tweets about that.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it was just like,
who cares?
Yeah. And I get when there's like something groundbreaking that's like put into a phone or a laptop.
Right.
Sure. Like, I think the last really exciting thing that I saw on a Apple laptop was the touch bar thingy. That was cool.
I don't know. I think the M1 chip was pretty exciting. The M1, like, its performance for being that first entry was awesome, right?
Yeah. But M1 was great. But again, it's all marketing. But again, like, these people, they just like don't.
They're zealous. Again,
same thing with the phone. And I really, I put this on my personal Twitter. I was like, because I was, they shot the entire.
I saw something about this, but it wasn't on yours.
They shot the entire commercial for the event on an iPhone 15 Pro Max, which I think is really cool. And I went to the video on YouTube, and I realized that Apple has the comments turned off on all of their videos. That's just weird.
Yeah. Well, someone was saying, I saw someone else tweeting about that too. And they were like, they were very impressed or surprised at the like depth of field and some of those shots and just how crisp they looked. And they were like, is this really? And then they said they did some more research. I didn't read what it was though, but that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Well, you can shoot in like Apple Pro Raw on this phone.
Yeah.
Or Apple Pro Res or whatever they call it. And they shoot, like it shoots straight to an SSD, which is really cool. But I just found it really weird that they, like, I don't think we would ever say we did something incredibly controversial on this channel. I don't think I turned the comments off. It's just like a weird thing, like that, you know, because that's like your customer base. That's like your feedback. And I know it kind of Apple just does whatever they want, but maybe turn the comments on so people, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, maybe this is like a thing. So I went to like Samsung's page. They have their comments on. Razer has their comments on. Like these big, you know, these big tech companies, like they all have their comments on. So it's just weird. It's just like, it's I don't know. I just found that weird. But yeah, these are going to be great. Like I said, I think Apple, like beyond like me not liking them having their comments off, I think Apple's done a great thing with these processors. And it's probably been one of the best beyond like the iPhone. I think it's been one of the best moves that they've made. Well, I guess the iPhone's not necessarily new. So it's probably the best around. The best move that they've made in the past 10 years, I'd say. I think maybe. I mean, I just think, it's just if they don't have to rely on Intel, especially during like chip shortage time, like they don't have to rely on Intel. They're not limited to the specifications of the Intel processor. They can control everything. Like, that's just great. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, we don't cover Mac stuff that much, but I think the chips are really cool. So I'd love to have an M2, M3 based machine, but I just would never use, I could never justify the cost of it because I would never use it. I don't think.
Right.
Yeah. So, moving on to some other stuff. So we were talking about that Scythe cooler, which I love, the Fuma 3. A lot of people have been wondering, like, when's this next Noctua NHD 15 coming out? We've had, like, we reviewed, like, the Chromex black version, the one that's all black. Like, we've been waiting for this NHD 15, like, the second gen. Like, when's it coming out? We've seen it teased a couple times. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be delayed again. You know, so Q2 of 2024 is when it's supposed to come out. It's supposed to come out in Q1. And they have an updated roadmap.
Well, I wonder what, and like, I hate to like lessen it down to this, but like, what delays a cooler? Like, you've been making coolers for a very long time. Maybe, like, what introduces a delay?
They're working on something new or there's some new breakthrough and they changed the design. Like, I don't know. I think to knock to it, like the NHD 15 came out like legit 10 years ago or maybe even older than that, like a long time.
Yeah.
And it's been that solid, you know, I always recommend, like if you want one of the best air coolers out there, that's it. And I think that's the thing too, is like, they can't come out with something that's like essential. Like, how do you, I guess like, just like we saw with the Scythe cooler, like increase fin density. Like, are you going to make it smaller though too? Because like, I mean, the D15 is really big and you have a lot of constraints now too with newer, you know, with that RGB memory, with like bigger VRMs, with IO covers. Like, what are you doing? So,
yeah.
I'm excited though. I love Noctua products. I think that you would hope that this next generation of the D15 would be, the best of the best.
Like, yep.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, Q2. Hopefully, like I said, if it does come out, we'll have a review for you guys. So
sweet.
Also, something we saw almost a year ago is finally coming out. We saw this and we were one of the only people that actually covered this, which is kind of funny.
We thought it was cool, right?
Well, yeah. And nobody was talking about it. The rep from ADATA didn't even
bring it up. Yep.
Didn't bring it up. They wanted to talk about their power supply. We were
really this little rude thing that clicks open and close. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the ADATA SE920. And like I said, we saw this in January, working in January. They're just officially announcing it. Now this is a USB 4 external SSD. So for those who don't know, and we keep on talking about USB 4, USB 4 is essentially Thunderbolt 3. So now we have Thunderbolt 4, but basically Intel, right?
Yeah.
Intel gave Thunderbolt 3 to like the USB people. So USB 4 uses Thunderbolt, so it's very fast. So with this drive, it's really cool. We have a video on our YouTube if you want to check it out of the SE920, but it's a portable SSD that's, you can see the center part that opens up, but it clicks open to provide better cooling, which is really cool, but it's fast. So
it's got a little fan in there too when you
open it up. Yeah, a tiny little fan that kind of turns on when you open it up. But again, the fastest that we can do with portable SSDs right now is 2,000 megabytes a second read and write. Well, this is going to be 3,800 megabytes a second read, 3,700 megabytes a second write. So that's very, very fast for
almost double. Yeah,
yeah, for a portable drive. So that's going to be really awesome. I'm excited. You know me, my fast portable storage. I always like to see it. So really cool to see that finally. I was wondering when that was coming out because, like, again, we saw it in January. So hopefully we'll get one of those into review. And then finally, Crucial launched their new T500. So we reviewed the T700, which is their Gen 5 drive, but they released a new Gen 4 drive up to 7,400 megabytes a second. There's a heatsink, non-heatsink version. Uses the same heatsink as the T700 if you want the heatsink version. Doesn't need it though. But if you want it, like if you want to install this in a PlayStation 5, you probably want the extra cooling, but it really doesn't need it. But good to see that as well. Super fast.
Yeah, I forget who had a review of this that I read over, but they said it was like the best Gen 4 drive.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, as we get into the new gen, like the and again, it's so weird to call fourth gen like old gen, but I mean, technically it is. But it's, when Gen 4 first came out, like we weren't getting these speeds and now we're getting consistent. And if you were hitting these super high speeds, like the drive, you had to have some really hardcore cooling on there or it wouldn't do it. Now we're getting like, you know, these drives that don't need the cooling. They're like consistent across the board. Yeah. So, it's good to see that. Like I said, that's the T500 from Crucial. So if you're looking for Gen 4 storage, that's probably going to be the one to get. It's brand new. And yeah. So that is it for the news this week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a motherboard from ASRock. It is their Z790 PG ITX TB4. So this is a mini ITX motherboard here, and as you can see, super small Z790. So I'm excited to take a look at that. These small boards have like so much on them. It's crazy. Like, how does they just pack in all the connectors? And like, there's an M.2 on the front, M.2 on the back. Like, everything's just kind of jammed in there together. But pretty cool. I'm excited to take a look at that. I'll be taking a look at a really cool small little USB 3.2 flash drive from PNY. This is their Duo Link. And this has the Lightning connector on one end and a USB-A on the other end. So, you know, you can plug this into like an iPad or an iPhone and you can transfer data. You can transfer your data off. You can do things like that, which is definitely comes in handy. And then again, you can take that data and put it on your PC or whatever else with the USB-A. So we'll have that coming up next week. As we come to the end here, we have our question of the week. And since it's holiday season, and holiday season just always reminds me of video games.
Okay.
You know, and the question is, has there been a time where you went to like Best Buy or GameStop or even way back EB Games or whatever for like a midnight release of a game? And what was the game?
Oh man, I'm trying to think if I ever did. I know. I feel like maybe like, I'm trying to remember what it was, because I know that I've been out at like outside of a Best Buy and a GameStop.
Okay.
In the middle of the night, right? It's like pitch black and the only people there to get games, obviously. But I don't remember what it was. I mean, it would have been early 2000s. My first thought was like maybe the first expansion of WoW.
I could see that for you.
Right, to get the collector's edition. Yeah. And then I was thinking maybe like Half-Life 2. Maybe I bought. But yeah, I mean, there were a couple. I can't remember off the top of my head what they would have been. But yes, I've definitely done the midnight release. And
when you did the midnight thing, did you like go home, install it, and like play till like 5, 6 in the morning?
No, because it was sometimes, like a lot of times those would release in the middle of the week.
Okay.
Well, maybe not. I don't remember.
Yeah, you're right. They would. It would be like a Thursday or like a Wednesday. Right.
So it was like, no, I'd have to go to work. So I'd, you know, get up, get the thing, and then go home and then not be able to play it until that day because I wouldn't take the day off to play it.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah. Yeah, no, I did like the Halo 2 midnight release, mm-hmm. which was awesome. Gears of War, I think it did both 1 and 2.
Yeah, I maybe did like some Battlefields as well and Call of Duty.
Yeah, I might have done a Battlefield as well. Mm-hmm. But it was always so crazy, like going to the mall when the mall is supposed to be
Doom,
closed.
Doom 3. I'm almost positive I did one for Doom 3.
Okay. Yeah, that just like doesn't happen anymore. It was like, it was one of those things that was
it's just so you got a launcher and it's downloaded. And as soon as they say you can play,
was like such a big part of like the gaming community, right? Because everybody who was there late at night was like pretty much like a hardcore gamer, you know?
Yep.
And you'd meet people online and it was just like one of those things that like just doesn't happen anymore, you know?
And it was cool because like stores would have like Best Buy or GameStop, like you said, they would have like a midnight release promo or something, right? And you're like, oh, Best Buy's got this one, but GameStop has this, right?
Yeah.
Something that they would like give away or the packaging would be different or something. And now it's like, I get an in-game item
from someone,
which is still, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we're getting...
It was different.
Yeah, we're just getting old. It's just one of those things that like new gamers will just like never be able to experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Especially if it was like, you know, back when I lived in Pittsburgh, it was like, you know, a game coming out during the holiday season. Like, it's cold as hell waiting up all night. And
I know for sure I waited. I didn't get it on release day. I got it maybe a month after it came out. But the first Wii...
Okay, yeah.
No, I know, like, on a Sunday, the Best Buy ad would always say, like, 10 per store, you know, will be available or something in their printed ad. So I went out one Sunday, you know, hours ahead of them opening, and sure enough, there was a line, and I got just early enough in the line to pick one up. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the Wii only cost $250, if I remember correctly. Like, that's crazy.
Well, I mean,
especially since it's a console with like two controllers that are wireless and all the extra stuff that came with it,
especially at the time, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had a Wii. I had a Wii for a while. Wii was such a it was such a fun thing to play with your friends.
Oh, yep.
That was such a cool thing. But yeah, I was just wondering because like I was just thinking back because again, like holiday season, it's just like. You remember, you know, you got to be home and hang out with the, you know, the in-laws and stuff. And it's, you're like, I would just like go in my room and play video games.
Yep.
So like, I just remember, you know, and the night, you know, the midnight releases of certain games. And I remember, especially like Halo 2, I stayed up and like on the launch, Mountain Dew had their Game Fuel at the same thing. So like the day before I'd get like a case of like the Game Fuel. And so I'd be like ready. And I played Halo 2 like all night, you know? Good time.
I even brought because we used to live out of state and we'd come back and visit family like for holidays. And I brought like, I think my Sega Genesis with me. To be able to play it, you know, when we were back and had downtime. And I remember being at like my grandparents' house and was playing a new game, but they only had one TV that the console would work on. All their other stuff was like older, you know, dial CRTs and stuff that just wouldn't work. Right? I didn't have the cables, so had to have it hooked up to the main one. Well, it was like my grandma's time to watch her soap operas.
Ugh.
And it was like, I didn't think about it smartly. I could have just left the console on and running where I was at and just like put it to the side and change channels. But no, I turned it off and lost all my progression, you know? And so just like, leave it on, change channels. When she's done, change it back to the channel and it'll be sitting there where I was. Well.
Yeah, those are the old times. Remember, you had to like, and especially in some games, especially back in the day, like you had to get to like a save point. Like you couldn't just save one.
Oh, yeah.
You had to get to like a save point. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, good times, kind of reminiscing about that. We also talk about the end of every podcast, like tech related things. If Ryan and I have done any tech things or like saw any kind of cool movie or anything on your end.
I think I talked last week about, I had built that new system for this case I'm reviewing. So I spent a little time with that this week. I moved my Plex server over to it. I don't know if I had done that yet when we had talked last week.
I believe,
but I got it moved. Plex moved over. Seems to be quite a bit snappier with the new hardware, so that's always a plus. I did watch a new movie. I watched a couple movies and TV shows. We've been watching like Goosebumps series on Disney Plus. It's been pretty good. Like, there's a lot of people in it, it feels like, and it's been entertaining. It's not like amazing, like overall, but it's pretty good. And then we watched. What was it? I don't know. Some other like horror comedy. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'll see if I can find it. It had to do with like time travel and like solving a murder, like going back to the 80s and stuff. And then we started watching Renfield last night. It has Nicolas Cage, and like Nicolas Cage is Dracula. And it's about his like assistant. It was pretty good. We didn't make it all the way through because we got tired last night. And then we got about 20 minutes left, so we'll catch up on it. But it was pretty good, too.
Nice. Yeah, well, you know, this is the time of year for horror movies to come out, too. I watched it's not tech-related or anything, but I finally watched the new Indiana Jones, so that was good.
Oh, which one is that? Infinite? Whatever?
The Dial of Destiny or something?
Oh, yeah, how was that?
I mean... Damn. It's not going to be as...
I'm just going to consider it's the first three movies are Indiana Jones and the four and five
I also liked four better, I'd say.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I need to watch four again because I've only seen it once.
I did like four better. But, I mean... But, yeah. It's better than a lot of movies that I've seen lately. So
okay.
So, yeah. I mean... Harrison Ford still Harrison Ford. I mean,
yeah,
good actor. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. I do want to say that somebody messaged me on Twitter and was like, "Hey, my friend from work told me about your podcast, and I really been enjoying it." So, whoever that was, definitely appreciate that. That's awesome. Yeah. And if you guys do enjoy the podcast, like, definitely share it with your friends, share it around. If you want, you don't have to post it on social media, but we definitely appreciate it. And of course, we appreciate everybody, listening live, being in the live chat, or if you, comment later on YouTube or whatever it may be, we definitely appreciate you guys there. But it is the new season of Apex Legends. What season is this, Ryan?
Season 19.
Season 19. So we're going to be over there. New season, new legend, some changes to the game. So I'm pretty excited to play. I always say that every week because that's like the only time I play I play video games, so definitely really excited to play. We're not sure how late we're going to play because Ryan and I are both very, like, again, getting over a kind of cold type thing. Yep. So, but yeah, we'll be over there. That's going to be on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will be hosting that stream. So again, once you're done listening, you can head over there. Again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will see everybody next week.